Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater, and my name's Carrie. And I'll just briefly qualify by telling you that I'm currently maintaining over 100-pound weight loss through the miracle of this program and the 12 steps. And I'm going to tell you that when they asked me to talk about balance, I laughed, which I realized afterwards, not a very nice thing for me to do. So I apologize, Alice, for laughing when you said that. But what happened to me was, I was comparing what people see on the outside to what goes on in my head in the inside, which is, you know, definitely an addict's kind of mindset that I have. But once I got my head around that, I was also reminded of some readings from the OA 12 and 12. And what I really thought of was something from step two, where it says, more self-examination revealed many areas in which our lives were out of balance. And the piece that really spoke to me that I remembered was, compulsive overeaters are often people of extremes. We were obsessively busy, then we were wiped out and unable to act. And that really resonated with me. If we couldn't have it all, we didn't want any. If we couldn't be the best, we didn't want to play the game. And that really spoke to the depth of my disease. So one of the things that I thought of in terms of how I use an action plan to achieve balance is all the different areas of my life. And it's true, I'm helping to raise my 10-year-old nephew, so I have some childcare responsibilities there. I'm sort of the backup auxiliary parent for him. And I have a home that I maintain, and I have an elderly mother up in Pennsylvania, and she happens to be disabled, and she's widowed. So I'm kind of her healthcare manager, and her property manager, and her financial manager. I have a full-time job, and it's kind of your typical Washington metro area full-time job, which means it's more than 40 hours a week, and sometimes it's, you know, sitting on the beltway and those kinds of things. And then I have OA as well. And so how do I balance all those things? How do I use an action plan? Well, to me, an action plan is a list or a schedule or maybe a combination of both. And I happen to be a compulsive list maker. So this is great. I mean, for me to talk about action plan, it's just another list. It really resonates with me very strongly. But, you know, unfortunately, being a compulsive list maker, I tend to make what's been described to me as an addict's list. And so I have here a modest example. These would be things I would like to get done this weekend, for example. So we can see how well this technique works for me. So I started thinking about what I actually do with action plans to get some balance. And on here would be things for not just me, but for the house and for my mom and all those kinds of things. And often I have to pull those lists apart and make separate lists in order to achieve balance. So I have to keep a separate column for me, a separate column for OA, a separate column for mom, those kinds of things, a separate column for work. But one of the things that really, really has helped me is some items from the Big Book, particularly the 24-hour plan, looking at the 24 hours ahead. We sit down and we look at what we have ahead of us and we schedule what's going on there. So the parts of that I rely on are, we relax and take it easy. We don't struggle while we consider our plans for the day. Well, when I sit down to make my list, I tend to think I can get all of these done, but if I remember that I'm going to take it easy and not struggle, that leads me to scale it back. So to get honest with myself about what I can realistically achieve in a day. And I often think back to a stand-up comedian, and that's where I derive a lot of my wisdom from, unfortunately. But he happens to be British, and he tells a little joke about talking to another British person about what their goals are, and they said, well, I'd like to get to the moon someday. And he says, you know, you're British, so scale it back a bit. And the guy says, all right, well, I'd like to help somebody else get to the moon. And he says, that's nice, but you're British, so scale it back a bit. Finally, he gets the guy to end up saying, I'd like to work in a shoe store. And so that's what I think of when I put my actual daily plan together. I start out with a list of at least 16 things, and then I think to myself, you know what? You're compulsive, so you need to scale it back a bit. And so then I might whittle it down to 8 things, and then I cut it down to 4. And then if I'm sane, I get to, what's the one thing I need to do today? If I don't get anything else done, what's the one thing? And for me, I have to realize that it's staying abstinent, for one thing. If I'm abstinent today, then I'm a success today. And that has to come first. And of course, we have a reading on that right here in the handout, where it says, if I put abstinence first, it could be at the expense of some other important activity. If I pray and meditate in the morning, my children will have to fix their own breakfasts. If I take the time after work to call my sponsor and take calls from my sponsees, my husband may need to start dinner himself. How horrible. And that's the other piece that speaks to me, is that I do have a tendency to think I have to do it all. If I want it done right, I have to do it myself. And so it really helps me to call 3 different people if I have an action plan that I think is way out of scope, and if I'm sane enough to recognize that, to talk to three people and say, you know, does this seem reasonable to you? And have them talk me back off the ledge a little bit in terms of what I can reasonably get done in a day. Sometimes my action plan for the day is simply sitting down and figuring out, when am I going to eat that day? Depending on my work schedule, I might be driving from one place to another. I might be in the car a lot. I have to actually sit down and figure out, when are the times when I can eat? And I'm going to need to make myself eat then, whether or not I'm hungry, really, if that's going to be my only opportunity to do that. Because I know when I get too hungry, I make crappy food choices. So part of this is getting honest with myself about what I know my behavior is going to be if I don't do that planning. And for me, it often involves taking my food with me. Because again, if I leave it to chance, and I just think I'm going to pick something up along the way, that's not going to lead me to the best food choices for me. So for me, I do need to do that planning. It takes time. It takes preparation for me on the weekends to make batches of things that I'm going to use throughout my work week. But it's much saner for me to do that, and it's an investment in my abstinence to do that. I also sat down and I thought a little bit about how the different steps help me with my action plan for balance. One, like I mentioned, is honesty. What can I really accomplish? And I also asked myself, what would I tell my sponsees to do about this situation? If I was advising them about what they can get done in a day and what they can't, what would I tell them? So I do use the tool of telephone to do that and ask other people what they think. The principle of hope, of knowing that there's a power greater than myself. Frankly, the folks that I call are part of my higher power, so that I know I don't have to make these decisions myself. Having faith that I will get the help when I reach out and ask for it. I've found people to be extremely generous in this program. I have never made a phone call that I've regretted making. People are always willing to talk if they're able and help me out with whatever the problem is. I just have to ask for the help. Courage and integrity. So the courage piece of it for me when I put my action plan together for the day is to say no if I really can't do something, because I tend to want to say yes to everything. But frankly, when I look at that day's plan, I often have to force myself not only to say no to things that I know I realistically can't get done that day, but I have to say no to my own overscheduling instinct and put time in between different tasks and force those wedges of time in there, because everything takes longer than I think it's going to take. I tend to think I can get it all done in half an hour. And frankly, life happens in between all of those. So the boss is going to call with something that I didn't anticipate having to do that day. I'm going to take calls from other people at work, and they're going to have tasks. So I have to force that time in there. Willingness to be realistic. So willingness to actually take that list of 100 things and cut it down to 2 or 3 for the day. sometimes I have to pray for that willingness, because I think as an addict, my default setting is more is always better. So I have to scale it back a bit. Humility, being able to admit that I can't do it all, that I can't be all things to all people, helps me out when I put that action plan together. Self-discipline, not biting off more than I can chew, not to use a food-related kind of phrase there, helps me. And then having some forgiveness for myself and love, so that when I don't get everything done on my list, I'm not beating myself up about it. And that's a huge piece of it for me, is not holding myself to a standard that I would never hold other people to. Because if I hold myself to that high standard and then I don't meet it, I'm going to end up wanting to eat over it. And recognizing that those are the kinds of feelings that lead me to have food thoughts is a big part of the process for me. The other piece that I really picked up on when I was looking at the different concepts was perseverance. And I'm a big believer in baby steps. So in addition to writing an addict's list where there's a billion different things, I also look at that list, get completely overwhelmed, and then go into complete paralysis where I get absolutely nothing done because I tend to be a procrastinator. So chunking things down into the smallest possible steps helps me, especially if I can get it to down to a step small enough that I can't help but take it. So if the goal is for me to do my mother's taxes and I'm overwhelmed by that task, I break it down to just get last year's form. And that's one of the steps. And just get the phone number for help. And you know, who couldn't possibly, you know, get a phone number together? I can do that on my worst day. But then I've at least made some, I've made some progress. And maybe I learned that from, you know, what it reminds me of is when I was young in my work career, and I was a software professional, and we had milestones we had to meet, and there was a milestone for start the development of that particular piece of programming code. Well, all you had to do was copy down the last module to your library, and that counted as starting the milestone. You go, check, got it done. That's a great, that was a great lesson for me, because just writing the phone number down is step one in the process. I can give myself credit for having gotten something done there. And then for steps 11 and 12, spiritual awareness and service, one of the other things that helps me with balance is having some quiet time in the morning. Doing some reading, doing some writing, doing some meditation, so that I can get my mind straight so I can focus on the priorities. And making sure that I'm of service to others when I help. Now, the part that really kind of brings it all back to step one is that I tend to put everybody else before me in terms of my schedule. So I'll put work before anything, given my druthers. And so what really helps me is the things that I know I would tend to procrastinate about for myself, I have to get those done first. So thinking about first things first for me means I have to get my meditation done in the morning. I have to get my reading done in the morning. I have to get my writing done in the morning. If I'm going to exercise for the day, that has to go in the morning too. Because if I say to myself I'm going to do it later, it's not going to get done. So for those things, I have to put myself first, and I have to realize that I'm probably powerless over the rest of the day. And sometimes I'm powerless over that part of the day too. But at least most days, I try to schedule those things in the beginning. And that helps me keep on track for the rest of the day. Let's see, what else did I want to say about this? I think I got most of it in there. Oh, and I'll just end with this. I realize that I have to do the footwork. So I do rely on other people as part of my higher power. And I remember listening to a podcast that really stuck with me, where the person said, you know, your higher power can move mountains, but please bring a shovel. And so my action plan is actually the shovel that I use for that. Sitting down, taking the time to look at what's fixed in my schedule that has to get done that day, and is there a balance in it in terms of doing things for others and doing things for me, is how I work that program. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.